Listen, I know there's a lot going on in the world right now, and we're all on our devices, staying connected to those that we're not quarantined with, and we're shopping online. And I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They're offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen Rose, tell the people who is joining us on the program today.
It's a legendary program today. I am humbled. I am honored that this Hall of Fame basketball player even knows my name. Growing up in the city of Detroit, you guys got familiar with him winning a championship at Indiana, being a multi-time all-star, two-time champion of the Bad Boy Pistons. But I also got a chance to know the man, the humanitarian, the entrepreneur. He's been my coach in the NBA. He was a guy where I was like, when I got drafted, I'm going to get a smile like his, because he has a smile that'll light up the entire NBA like he did with his game. Isaiah Lord Thomas the Third is here. Zeke the Freak is here. Welcome to Jalen and Jacoby. I am forever grateful. And there's one other individual that would like to welcome you properly like no other show can. I wanted to wear my Detroit red, white, and blue to honor you. Also, I wanted to bring a character, Motown Clown, from the late 80s to celebrate your championships with you. You can appreciate one of those, right? You remember those? And there, you won't be complete without these, right?
Yeah,
okay, all I'm missing is a cigarette.
Yeah, and the scene. Remember the scene?
Don't say damn, say whoa. Sugar, didn't get off today.
It ain't our fault. Oh, that's great. Are we missing that? Some fake though.
Well, obviously it's a big day for you. Yesterday we aired the third and fourth episode of The Last Dance, and these episodes were very important to the two of you, and they featured the Bad Boy Pistons. And what was it like just sitting down and watching this documentary unfold and reliving those moments of that time?
You know, for me, it was interesting taking a peek behind the curtain, because you know, you never really know what the inner workings of your rival team is all about, and some of the problems that they may be going through internally. The first takeaway is the relationship that they had with Jerry Krause. That was amazing, eye opening. We had a president and general manager and Jack McCloskey in Detroit that was, you know, well respected, and we as a team respected him, you know, as a man and as a person. And to see what was happening with Jerry Krause and the Chicago Bulls and their team, the disrespect that was being shown to Krause during those periods of time, you know, that was just interesting looking in. And then, you know, seeing the documentary from the Bulls' perspective, and knowing our perspective, how we perceived the Chicago Bulls and actually how they really were, it's entertaining and it's good to watch.
MJ says he hates the Bad Boys to this day. Is the feeling mutual?
You know, we hated each other in terms of our basketball teams competing against each other. But in terms of hating him personally, I myself personally don't have that feeling. And I don't think any of our Piston players have a personal dislike for any of the Chicago players. Now, as a basketball team, you know, yeah, we competed, we played hard and everything else, but we were no different than, you know, hey, the Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, I can remember Dr. J and Larry Bird, you know, bam, in each other's face. And then showing up at the All-Star game, giving each other a hug and love. And, you know, it was never anything outside of the floor. It was always competition on the floor. So when I look at the Bulls, you know, we were champions. They dethroned us. And really, that's it.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that because I feel like a lot of times, especially when younger people look back on this era, they'll remember it as the era of Larry versus Magic and then MJ sort of like took over the league. When a lot of times I feel like the Bad Boy Pistons and somewhat the Houston Rockets were also sort of overlooked as some of the greatest teams ever assembled during this era. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, there's a false narrative out there that places Jordan's winning years in the 80s. And Jordan never won in the 80s. And the teams that dominated in the 80s and the four players that were, you know, winning championships in the 80s, Dr. J, Moses Malone, the Philadelphia 76ers, Larry Bird, McHale, Boston Celtics, Magic Kareem, the Lakers, and the Pistons. And those were the four teams. And no matter how, and anytime you put Jordan in the 80s, against all of those teams and against all of us, he has a losing record. Now, when you put him in his proper time frame in terms of the 90s and what he did in 91 thereafter, he has a winning, dominant record against those teams and those players. But when he's in the 80s, he wasn't dominating the 80s, although he was a great player and he was the MVP of the league in 88. His teams were still getting beat. And those are just facts.
I'm glad you did that distinction because you're exactly right. You could not have articulated better for somebody like me who's been doing this argument for my entire life. That happened in the 90s. Like when we talk about the 80s, that was a total different brand of him having to earn his way into learning how to be great, learning how to be an MVP, learning how to be a champion, learning all of those things. And yeah, the Bad Boy Pistons eliminated them three straight seasons from the playoffs, Jacoby. So as a squad during that period of time that was fortunate enough to win back-to-back titles, how gratifying was it to be able to do it in the era that started and ended, started with Bird and Magic, Dr. J, as you said, and then your squads winning two in a row?
You know, it was very gratifying. And the thing that we had a chance to do that Magic or Bird didn't have a chance to do or didn't do, we should have three-peated. We should have been the first team to three-peat. Mm. 88, 89, 90, we were the best team in basketball. And we should have three-peated. Mm-hmm. And not for, you know, a phantom foul. You know, we went three in a row, and we're the first team to three-peat, not the Chicago Bulls. And, you know, when we look back on that era also, the only back-to-back champions in that era was the Los Angeles Lakers and the Detroit Pistons. The Celtics never went back. So when you talk about, you know, from 80 to 90, in that decade, these were the dominant teams, these were the dominant players, and playing against, you know, some of the best players who have ever played the game. To just give you an example of how good a basketball team we were. In 86, that 86 Celtic team is looked at as one of the best teams to ever play in the history of the game. Well, in 1987, we had that team beat. I throw the ball away in game five. Bird steals the ball. Dennis Johnson lays it up. Bird steals the ball. Dennis Johnson lays it up. Right. We all heard that in our sleep nightmare still today. And then in game seven, Vinnie Johnson and Adrian Dantley collide heads. They're out the whole fourth. And Boston beat us in seven game elimination by 3 points. That's how good a basketball we were in 87.
Well, I think that a lot of the legacy of this quote unquote bad boys team is about physical play, especially on the defensive end of the floor. And some of that was highlighted in the episodes last night that we watched at The Last Dance. Obviously, the Jordan rules came up. What do you feel about the way that sort of like the legacy of this team is more physical defense when you were such a great all-around basketball team?
So you have researchers there, and I want you to look at who were some of the highest scoring teams in the 80s. And you're going to find one name in common, and that's going to be the Detroit Pistons. We had the highest scoring game in the 80s, and still today we scored 186 points against the Denver Nuggets, 184. You know, it's nice to take a couple of pictures, video clipped, and then put a couple of sentences behind it and say, oh, this was the Pistons, okay? But there isn't a player in the 80s that got hit more upside the head than Isaiah Thomas. Okay.
All facts.
We didn't cry about it. But by the way, at the same time, you know, Philadelphia played physical. Boston played physical. LA played physical. Detroit played physical. And then I'm looking at the tape. Dennis Rodman and the Chicago Bulls played physical. Okay, so this narrative around, oh, Detroit and the Jordan rules. Now, the Jordan rules were simply this. Michael Jordan was as great as Jalen Rose was going left. Michael Jordan was that weak going left. And he was, of course, Jordan left. When he was on the right side of the court, we would force him to his left hand, and He wasn't a three dribbler going left. He was a two dribbler going left. So he dribbled two times, pick up the basketball and either shoot it or try to make a play. And what we would always do is come on the first dribble. When he started going left, we come on the first dribble, we trap. He was a reluctant passer at that particular time. And he was a dominant right hand passer. So as a dominant right hand passer, we would send the trap to his right hand, stay on his right hand, make that pass go in the air so we can rotate and pick up on the rotation. And that was whenever he was going. And you see him in all these films, he's driving left and we come in a double team. Early on when we were double team, he was, again, a reluctant passer. So he would take very hard contested shots. The NBA at that time wanted to market the dunk. We were saying we're not going to let Michael Jordan dunk. And there's still a no layup, no dunk rule in the NBA today. So whenever he got close to the basket, instead of letting him dunk, we would foul him, send him to the foul line. He was an 85-86% foul shooter. So that meant the more you sent him to the foul line, he may split one or he may miss one. But we knew if he dunked, that was a sure two. Those were the Jordan rules. Tempo was what I was supposed to control. And if you look at all these Chicago scores, they're scoring, 87 to 92 points roughly. And Jordan's taking 30 to 32 shots, and we're forcing 15 turnovers. So that's 45 possessions that are gone or to Michael Jordan. And out of those other, 35 shots that would be available, those 35 shots had to be distributed between 7 to 8 players. So that means each player was probably getting an average of 4 to 5 shots. And defensively against those players, we were holding those players to 25% shooting. They were only making 1 to 4 or 1 to 5. Those were the Jordan rules, and that's how we always beat them.
Isaiah Thomas, you're from the west side of Chicago. I know you were watching a documentary last night. There was a gentleman named Horace Grant that called you guys. How did you take that?
I laughed at it. It's laughable. I mean, it truly is. It's laughable. I won't get into all I know is whenever I've seen these guys personally up front with each other, I have never gotten that reaction from Horace Grant. Never gotten that reaction from Michael Jordan. They've always been nice, pleasant, so it's easy to talk a lot of stuff on TV behind cameras or, radio. But when we face to face, I haven't got that reaction from them.
That's really interesting and, because it seems like there's still a little bit of grudges being held on both sides, to be honest. And obviously, I know you saw when the director. Oh, you're gonna stop me? No grudges.
Not both sides. Where have you seen the Pistons talk bad about the Bulls? I mean, and I'm sure if there were quotes, you guys would have found them. You show this one walk off, right? But you don't, mm-hmm. but you don't contextualize it and show what Jordan and the Chicago Bulls were saying about the Pistons after they had won game three. And not only saying that we didn't earn a championship, that we weren't good champions, but they also trashed the city of Detroit saying that, we were less than. So tell the whole story, just don't tell part of it. Now, you're not finding comments where the Detroit Pistons says something bad about the Chicago Bulls. You're finding things that the Chicago Bulls were saying bad about the Detroit Pistons, and we reacted and responded. Now, maybe our emotions got the best of us in that one instance, but don't say that the Pistons are walking around holding grudges and we're bitter. We moved on. We lost. We left the court, and we moved on. And we haven't said anything about the Chicago Bulls since. Now, ask your researcher to research it and find it.
We absolutely will. And that moment, and you and I have talked about this personally and professionally. If you squint when you look at that video as you guys are walking off the floor, I'm walking with y'all. I'm in that line. Yeah. I've been saying this since that day. And anybody that's been listening to this show for 9 years knows I was with y'all. That's rivalry, everyone. When you say that's what you miss in sports, that's what we're talking about. And it's going to be personal. It's going to be physical. And that's, I think, what people don't understand, Isaiah, about that moment. And the emotions that went into the hug with Captain Jack as y'all walked off. It was the end of an era that you just described that went so many different ways, but it was so very great and fun to watch.
And you know, that was all experience. I mean, we're watching the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan's documentary, His Story. All story on that day was, hey, our run has come to an end. And you saw us congratulating each other on the bench, thanking each other on the bench and everything else. Now, the city was on fire because of the comments that Jordan had made about our team prior to that game and how we were bad and everything else. Now, Jalen was in that line walking, but also, realistically, the whole city was marching with us, you know, because that was the feeling at that time. And not only that, but and this is very rare in sports, our beat writers were also walking out with us because they too had felt insulted because they grew up in Detroit. And you know, in terms of the Pistons, we have never, you know, gone out and said, oh, the Celtics were bad for basketball and the Lakers were bad for basketball or the Chicago Bulls were bad for basketball. Their style was bad. We never said anything like that. And as a matter of fact, after we lost, there are several NBA teams that picked up our style of play. The Miami Heat, Pat Riley left Showtime and became a bad boy.
Well, I mean, you make a really good point there. I mean, the Pistons didn't invent physical play, but sort of it was effective and it became sort of a trend. Do you feel like that bad boys team in this era created some of the rule changes that led to the sort of hands-off approach to the sport that's being officiated today?
They changed the rules against the Detroit Pistons offensively and defensively. So I had rule changes in the early 80s because Lambeer and I were isolating on one side of the floor playing pick and pop basketball, not pick and roll basketball. We were one of the first teams to start playing pick and pop and had a center popping out to the 3-point line, taking the bigs away from the basket so I can get to the basket and make layups. They changed the rule and said, hey, you can't, remember this, Jalen? You can't have more than 3 players lifted on one side of the floor.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's classic.
That's the Thomas rule, where you can come over across the lane, okay? That all those rule changes were designed around stopping our play at that time in terms of way we were playing. And then defensively, they started ruling against us. And the one big rule change that we still see today, and Jalen, you'll remember this when you were playing, as an offensive player, you could not take your hand and push the other guy away.
You could have done that. Oh my goodness.
That was called an offensive foul. Kevin McHale and I, at that time, we won the rules in the competition committee. And we were saying to the officials, what y'all are allowing Jordan to do in terms of pushing off, he doesn't need any more help. He's got a 59 inch vertical. You know, he don't need no more help. But because teams were starting to double team him, they allowed him to push off and get away with it. Fast forward, Byron Russell guarded him in the NBA Finals. Jordan drives right. Russell has him guarded. He takes his left hand, pushes him. Russell slides. Jordan poses at the free throw line, knocks down the shot. The Chicago Bulls win. What we have in basketball today is every single player takes his left hand or right hand and just pushes the defender away and then takes a shot, and now we call it a basketball move. That is a Jordan rule.
How about seeing Dennis Rodman as a member of the Bulls? He was your young boy in Detroit, the Worm. Won 2 championships and found his way to Chicago. How then did you guys feel about him joining the enemy? And what did you think about how his image changed to where he was more naive as a young player in Detroit to somewhat of a rock star later in his career with the Bulls?
2 answers to that question. I love that he became a rock star. And I love that, you know, he was being judged for being a great basketball player. And no one at that time, I don't think at anyone at that time when Dennis Rodman was playing called him a thug. When he was with the Detroit Pistons, he's a thug.
Good point. That's why that's why coming on this show, I'm going to represent to the fullest, Jacoby, because I need to make sure that I pay homage to one of the greatest individuals that just so happened to be talented at basketball, homage. And I got a gift for you, Coach, before you get out of here.
Oh, Jalen got
on
a special
gift for
you.
The city of Detroit, I don't not only dressed up, but I want to give you this. You remember this?
Yeah. Wait. I got something for you. Hold on, huh?
Wow! Absolutely. What a classic. Wow. Yeah. This embodies so much of Detroit, Jacoby. The world you can't understand. This is Mayor Coleman A. Young, the first African-American mayor of a major metropolitan city.
Yes.
And was always cleaner than the Board of Health. And don't say anything about Detroit. Like the Bad Boys, you get a flagrant 5. How about that, Isaiah? Tell the world who this is, please.
Well, come on. That goes without saying. If they don't know who this is, then they watching the wrong show. I mean, you don't know who that is. I mean, honestly, that's what our Detroit team represented. You know, I mean, when you put those forces together, and And not only when you put those forces together from a political standpoint, but also from a team standpoint and what we truly represented, that's what Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls was insulting. And that's how we felt like, wait a minute, we earned it. Not only did we earn it, but, you know, we were recognized nationally and internationally by the world basketball community. And for us to be dissed like that and saying that we didn't earn it, our city and our team really took that as a slight.
And that's why this is a legendary picture, my favorite picture. I'm going to make sure I give it to you because I know you probably have a lot of things in your multi-mansions. I know you don't have this framed anywhere. I know you don't.
I don't have that one framed, but, you know, I have. You saw that picture of me and Mr. Mandela and Nelson Mandela holding it. I keep that right in my office on my desk. So, you know, and when he visited Detroit and put on the Piston jacket, I mean, Mayor Coleman Young, Nelson Mandela, you talking about bad boy spirit in terms of what we stood for. Hey, that's who we were.
No doubt. And that's why I wanted to share this picture, because that's bigger than a game. So for people who try to compare who was the dominant team in whatever era, let me tell you something. When Nelson Mandela rocking your jacket, you won at life.
But by the way, Jalen, he had just been released from prison, and that was his first trip to America, and the first place he came was Detroit, and stopped and put on a Piston jacket. That's what we represent.
That's love.
That's great. I want to thank you so much for coming on the program, Isaiah. You're obviously welcome back anytime. I want to remind everybody, there's also a Bad Boys 30 for 30. If you're looking for something to watch between episode 4 and episode 5, watch the Bad Boys 30 for 30, and you'll enjoy that side of the story as well. Make sure you check out Mina Kimes in the Daily. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Yeah!